This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We have so much this hour, from Russia and the United Nations to the Indian conquests, Rome versus the Mongols. But first, let's talk about militias. This guy says dribbler. Okay, stop for a second. Let me recap why people keep talking about this. I was talking about it, I think it was earlier this week. My wife made an unfair accusation. She called me a spiller. Now, I know what you're thinking, Jesse. How could a professional athlete like you be a spiller? She said something to the effect of, hey, don't spill that glass. But there are two different types of people, and they are very, very different people. There are spillers, and there are dribblers. I am not a spiller. I never spill anything. I don't remember the last time I tipped a glass over by accident. I don't remember the last time I spilled something. I don't spill. I fully acknowledge that I am a dribbler. I know that I'm a dribbler. Just yesterday, having some nachos at the game, there ended up being a little cheese blot on my pants. I dribble, okay? I know I'm a dribbler, but I am not a spiller. Spillers and dribblers are two totally separate kinds of people. Obviously, we dribblers are superior, but we won't go into that anymore. Jesse, you always say to stay legal, which I agree with. The commies are taking over and no one's fighting for us. At what point do we militia up? Who makes that call when we have to come together to fight off these commies? Okay, listen, first, let's understand this. We should, you and me, we should be acquiring skills and getting better. And this is what I mean by skills and getting better. You and I, and I'm pointing fingers at me, I've actually been really lazy the past couple weeks. We should be in better shape than we are. I'm not calling you fat. Maybe you are fat, right? I'm not saying that, but we should be stronger, getting stronger and better than what we are. We should be taking better care of our health in preparation for a future, not of combat or civil war, God forbid, but just in preparation of a future that's more rocky. What's a great example of this? Well, or a terrible example of this. Have you ever studied any natural disaster situations, man-made or natural, just disastrous situations, whether it be a huge flood or war or something like that? If you get into these situations, the Holodomor, the starvation of the Ukrainians, whatever you happen to read, you will find something that's pretty consistent. The people who were in better shape, who were physically stronger, lasted longer, and were oftentimes the survivors. Who were the ones who died first? The ones who were out of shape. Now, sadly, that oftentimes just means older. The older people suffer. The younger children suffer. They're just not as physically hardy. But you and me, and I'm pointing fingers at me, I'm not lecturing anybody, we should be getting in better shape. That's part of preparing for whatever the future may bring. We should be, you and me, we should be adding skills too. This is something that it's been on my heart a lot recently, and I'm not exactly sure why. Maybe I just read something on it, but I need to begin acquiring skills again. It's not that I don't read or acquire knowledge or things like that, but I don't remember the last time I gained a new skill of some kind. Well, obviously, I joke about being able to speak foreign languages. But why don't I learn one of those? I should start learning one of those. I think I'm going to. I don't know what kind. Shooting. You, me, we should be getting better at shooting. There's no downside. If you've never shot before, take a safety class and begin. Begin at the beginning. But we should be acquiring these skills, getting better at these things. Look, even self-defense-wise, there's something for you. There's a million of these places all over the place now. A Brazilian jiu-jitsu place, or a grappling place, or a boxing, or a Muay Thai kickboxing place. And don't think, well, Jesse, I'm just a woman, or Jesse, I'm just an old guy, or Jesse, I'm just a kid. No. They have programs out there for every age. You're not walking, when you walk into one of these places, you're not walking into a cage match where you're going to get your face beat in. They are there to train you and help you acquire skills, and you can be as laid back as you want to be. But that's another thing that we need to start doing. And I'm not in any of those classes right now. Now, I've done a bunch of those before, but we need to begin acquiring skills and making ourselves better. And I'm not telling you to go turn yourself into a Navy SEAL. But what is the harm if this time next year, if March 29th, 2025 comes around, and you are in better shape, and you're a better shot, and maybe you can throw a better jab this time next year? What's the negative? Where's the drawback? Have you ever heard anybody say, oh, gosh, oh, man, I wish I wasn't such a good shot. Dang it. You ever heard that? Oh, man, I wish I hadn't learned how to block a punch. Oh, that was stupid. Why'd I waste my time with that? You've never heard anyone say that, have you? I haven't heard anyone say that. Let's begin acquiring skills. Now, you ask about a militia. I'm not trying to avoid your question. Understand that we will need state power at some level if we are going to take this country back. Even the American Revolution, which we are so fond of, you're fond of it, and I'm fond of it, and George Washington, and crossing the Delaware, and all these things, and the brave colonists, and yes, all that stuff is true, and that's good. We don't win the American Revolution without France helping out. And the founders knew that. The colonists knew that. The revolutionaries at the time, they knew that. They knew we needed help. We needed big boy help. The solution is not you and your buddies throwing on plates and grabbing some weapons and, I don't know, taking over the local post office or something like that. The solution is to remake our state and local governments into something that will fight for us, that will fight on our behalf, while also gaining the skills we might need if, God forbid, things go bad in the future. And you ask, you know, when is it time? When is it time? When is it time? I'll tell you when it's time. And I'm not going to have to tell you, because it's going to be obvious when it's time. Let me explain it this way. We've talked before about how you are ahead of everyone else, meaning you're the hyper-informed. You know what the problems are. You know what we're facing. You know what we have to do. But remember, we're running a race, and you're way out ahead of the pack. Now, that's a good thing. You should be proud of that, but you're way out ahead of the pack. If you try to jump the gun before the pack gets there with you, you're just going to end up dead or in prison. That's it. You're just going to end up dead or in prison. Look, you realize the FBI just showed up at some lady's home because she put a meme, she put a picture up online they didn't like? We are in a country right now where the federal government has decided that right-wing thought is a national security risk. The national security apparatus of America is now morphing itself into one that is aiming its guns at you. This is why I've warned you about protesting in blue areas and stuff like that. They're dying for a reason to arrest you. It's not that they're afraid of it. They want you to do these things. so they can take you and throw you in a dark cage and hurt you. And that's what they look what they've done to the January 6th people. They obviously were dying for a reason to unleash the national security state against Republicans, against their political opponents. January 6th gave them that reason. They pounced on it. And now we have wonderful Americans rotting in prison, lives destroyed, lives ended, relationships, lives ruined. It's awful. It's awful. They're dying. They want you to start the militia, and they want you to do that. Now, nobody said you can't go to the range with your buddies. Nobody said you can't learn basic skills. There's all kinds of skills, all kinds of wonderful classes out there you can take right now on patrolling, on communications, on an ambush. Look, yeah, hopefully you'll never need that, but that's still a cool skill to have. Acquire skills. Great one, Chris. I should have actually led with that one. First aid. How's your first aid? Mine's not where it should be. I know the basics of basics, but Jewish producer Chris has taken the time to be more proactive and went to a trauma course. You know, these skills are skills we have to slowly start acquiring. Again, I'm not telling you to become a Green Beret, but we can get better every day, better every year. All right? All right. Our planning needs to get better too, meaning retirement planning. I'm talking about real estate. I'm talking about acquiring things you can touch and feel so these evil people can't destroy the value of them. But when you talk about that, people will understandably say, but Jesse, I can't, a second house. Jesse, I'm a normal guy. I'm a school teacher. Jesse, I work construction. I can't. Listen, done for you real estate is not for millionaires and billionaires. If they were, we wouldn't be talking. Done for you real estate is so normal people can begin acquiring real estate. Oh, but what do I do? Where do I go? You don't need to stress that. Done for you real estate does all that for you. They'll find the property in the best markets. They'll vet it. They'll get you the financing. They handle the closing. They handle the rental process. You begin with one. It'll turn into two. One day you've got 10 and you're retiring and passing it on to your children. Go begin. DoneForYouJesse.com. DoneForYouJesse.com. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I hope you are planning on having a wonderful Easter weekend as we honor our Lord and Savior for the sacrifice he made in sending us all to heaven. Well, I mean, I guess if you believe in that thing, Chris. But anyway, let's move on to some questions this hour. Dear Oracle, I've been talking to a coworker who said we achieved full conquest over the Indians, but maybe I misunderstood you that you said it was a half conquest. What say you? Well, this is a conversation we've actually had many times in the past. If this is a personal thing of mine, it's actually not anything I've read or anything like that somewhere. I completely came up with this on my own, but I ponder this, the dangers of half conquest. And you and me, we could go back and forth and debate the morality of conquest, period, right? It's an ugly thing. Hey, you have this land. I'm more powerful than you. I'm going to take it from you. So it's an ugly thing. At the same time, that is how every single plot of ground on earth has been owned, has been taken. Every all lands are conquered lands, as the old saying goes. So let's set aside the morality of conquest, right? Let's set aside the morality of this whole thing, because I don't know that there is an appropriate answer. I don't know whether it is right. I don't know whether it is wrong. I'm sure it's situational like most things are. So let's set that aside. One thing that I've found so fascinating, someone could probably write a fascinating book on it, is the dangers of half conquest. A great example is actually Israel right now, what they're going through. We've talked about this before. Okay, I don't give a crap if you hate the Jews or hate the Palestinians, or that's not what we're talking about right now. Israel conquered that land. The Romans had conquered them. The Jews had created so many rebellious problems for the Romans. that finally the Romans had enough and they scattered them to the winds. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. And they that was the diaspora. They scattered the Jews to the four corners of the earth. Goodbye. That's how they all ended up in Europe and Russia and everywhere else. And then we're not going to do a whole history on it, but they decided to reconquer that land. And they did. They moved in through various methods. It was through all kinds of different ways, but they reconquered the land. Kind of. Most of it. They stopped before it was fully conquered. They left this place called Palestine. How's that worked out? How's that worked out? You conquered it halfway. Now you share a border with someone who hates your guts. And at any given moment, they may take some parachute gliders into your country and murder and rape your women. How did it work out in the end? Day after day after day, stabbings and bombings and this and this. Again, it doesn't matter the morality of conquest, but that's not what we're talking about. Did the half conquest, was that nice? I know that's why it was done. No, don't get me wrong. It wasn't done out of kindness. There was a lot of international pressure, but you stopped halfway. You didn't conquer it all the way. How did that work? How'd that work out for you? Not well. In America, the Indians. Americans were, from the very beginning, very, very uncomfortable with the idea of conquest. They were. Don't think this is some newfangled philosophy. They haggled about this and argued endlessly. Is this right? What do we do? I like the Indians. I don't like the Indians. Push them out. Kill them all. Leave them there. Give them the... It was always a debate to be had. And in the end, they landed on, well, I mean, let's take them, but we'll give them their own reservation somewhere. Well, no, not here. We like it here. This is a good part of ground. Let's give them this crappy piece of ground in Oklahoma somewhere. We'll put them in Montana. We'll put them on the reservation somewhere. Okay, how has that worked out, not just for America, but for the Indians themselves here? What has America gained from that as a nation? Nothing. What have the Indians themselves gained from that? Have you ever been to an Indian reservation? I know this will be wildly offensive. Remember, if you're offended, I don't give a crap. You're welcome to email Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Indian reservations are a disaster. They are full of some of the worst alcoholism, violent crime, poverty. They are sad, sad places, and I've been on many of them. Sad places. Did it work out for the American Indian that they were half conquered? Who did it benefit? Who did half conquest benefit? Nobody. Neither side. Half conquest, it's just prolonging misery. If you're going to take a place, then take a place. If you're not going to take a place, or if you're going to take it halfway, then stay out. Don't look, if you're going to take, let's make it about your neighbor's house. You like your neighbor's house? You want to go take it from him? Please don't do this, by the way. You want to go take it from him? Well, if you're planning on taking your neighbor's house, don't move into the living room and start sleeping on the couch. All you've done is create a situation that's going to get worse and worse and worse. Either run him out of the place and move in and change the locks, or don't show up at all. But don't go sleep on the couch. Half conquest. We did half conquest here. Tried to do it the right way, the nice way, and it ended up not being nice to anybody. Now, speaking of half conquest, let's do a little Romans versus Mongols thing and then talk about the United Nations and Russia and somebody wants to join the military, what branch, and so much else we still have to get to. Now, before we get to that, let's talk about this. Let's talk about vet bills. You ever have to take your dog to the vet? How often do you have to take your dog to the vet? How backbreaking are those costs? It's amazing. It's amazing. One of my relatives had to take out insurance because she was just there all the time. All, I know, Chris. I know. It made me sick, too. And you can't believe what she paid for it. I won't even tell you. It's bad. It's bad. You know that we take our dogs to the vet too often. Well, we have to take our dogs to the vet too often. Our dogs have health problems because they don't get nutrition. You should be pouring Rough Greens on your dog's food so they can get nutrition. Rough Greens, you think it costs you money? It saves you money. When you start giving your dog nutrition for the first time, they don't get sick as much. I know, it's a miracle. Go get a free jumpstart trial bag. roughgreens.com/Jesse is where you get one of those. You will see physical differences in your dog's coat, breath, everything. Or you can call them 833-33-MY-DOG. Romans versus the Mongols. Next.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Don't forget, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. We don't have much time left, so we just have to get to as many of these questions as we possibly can. I'll try to not get distracted. All right. What, Chris? You wouldn't understand. Let me simplify it for you, Chris.
This is not an attempt to ban TikTok. It's an attempt to make TikTok better. Tic-tac-toe. A winner. A winner.
A winner, Chris. Part-time radio host. Which empire was stronger, the Romans or the Mongols? From Matt. Listen, I love the Mongols as much as anybody. Well, love is probably a strong word. I mean, they were pretty brutal. Murdered millions, tens of millions of people. I love the Mongols as much as anybody. Probably, in my opinion, the greatest army in the history of mankind. No other army took on all the toughest people of their time and just beat the crap out of all of them. All of them. European knights, Chinese, the Muslim empires just wiped the floor with all of them. So I love the Mongols. Civilizationally, and I don't even know if that's a word, civilizationally, there's no comparison. The Mongols were outstanding fighters. There's no question about it. But they didn't know how to maintain an empire. The Roman Empire lasted ages and ages and ages. The Mongolian Empire? It depends on how you want to classify it. But 100 years? 200 years? It really wasn't that long lasting. They couldn't maintain what they'd done for a variety of reasons. Look, there is no empire in the history of mankind that compares to the Roman Empire when it comes to influence and length, and just nothing else comes close. Remember the Byzantines, Constantinople and all that? That's the Roman Empire. If you went back then and went to the Eastern Roman Empire, you went to Constantinople, nobody there would have called themselves Byzantine. Nobody. They would have all said, "We are Romans. This is Rome. We are the Romans." The Roman Empire was incredible. And you have a hard time finding examples throughout history where a society collapsed and the world went backwards. Because they couldn't do what the Romans had done. How do we build these aqueducts? How did they pave the roads? There's nothing like the Roman Empire. Jesse, can you please give an explanation as to why Russia is still in the United Nations? And is the UN a totally worthless organization? Yes, the UN is completely worthless. Here's what mankind loves to do. When something horrible happens, we love to convince ourselves that it was so terrible that we can take steps to ensure that that terrible thing, whatever it was, will never happen again. We love how many different examples of never again or never forget have you heard? Look, we say that about we Americans. We say that about 9/11. Never again. Never forget. But let's be honest. It's going to happen again. There's going to be, God forbid it happens in my lifetime, but there's going to be another gigantic terror attack in America at some point, because that's how mankind works. It's not that I'm rooting for it or I'm even necessarily pointing fingers at anyone. That's how mankind works. It's going to be bad at some point. It's going to happen again. What's another? Actually, you know what? We were just talking about the Romans and the Jews. Let's talk about the Jews and the Holocaust. That's a common thing that you hear now. Never again. Never again. Never again. Never again. But there have been a lot of Holocausts because that's what mankind does to itself. Men do terrible things to other men. Civilizations do terrible things to each other. And every single time, people will convince themselves that if we just do this, or we'll form this group, or we'll do this, and we'll make sure this never happens again. But you're really just lying to yourself. These things happen again. Maybe not to you, but they'll happen to someone else. That mankind doesn't really necessarily change. Jesse, I'm 17, and I want to join a branch of the military. Do you have any suggestions? I'm pretty sure I'm not joining the army with all the commie infiltration there. Also, could you give some examples about why you don't like Tim Scott? Okay, first of all, join the Marines like a man. Second of all, Tim Scott. We've talked about this before, about the power of the narrative. The power of the narrative. What is the narrative? In the way I'm using it, the narrative is this. The initial story that gets spread around, it gets cemented in so many people's minds that even as new facts come out later, the original story, even if it's 100% false, the original story is still the truth in many, many, many people's minds. Your liberal Aunt Peggy, does she believe police officers were killed on January 6th? Guarantee you she does. 1,000%. The Democrat in your life believes that police officers were killed on January 6th. Not a single police officer was killed on January 6th. Not one. Nobody. None. Zero. Zip. Zilch. That's not my opinion. It's a fact. Go read it. It's a fact. But why does liberal Aunt Peggy believe that? Because the initial narrative, when the system was weaponizing itself against the right, planning on arresting them and hurting them, the original narrative was cops, 5 cops died, 6 cops died, murdered on January 6th, over Democrat after media person after Hollywood person, over and over and over and over and over again, initially repeated that lie, and that lie became cemented in the minds of so many Americans. The narratives, that's the narrative. And so what the right must do, is fight like the devil against the initial narrative that the communist tries to set every time. The communist will see an opportunity and he will dive on it and he will use it to push his demonic goals. And the right, over and over and over and over again, goes along with it for a while and then slowly but surely kind of comes around. Okay, I mean, guess that wasn't right, guys. St. George Floyd died in Minneapolis. He died of an overdose. But we all woke up that day. We all woke up to that horrible video. It looked bad, sweaty, cops on his back. We all woke up to that. And immediately the communists in America realized they had an opportunity here. They had an opportunity to further the revolution, destroy police departments, turn violent criminals loose on the streets, gain power for themselves, do things that they'd always wanted to do. And so they jumped on it right away. And it was cops are racist, America's racist, everyone's racist, reparations, all this other stuff. Instead of fighting back against that, tooth and nail, Tim Scott led the way on federal police reform. Well, I mean, I did get pulled over a couple times in South Carolina. It doesn't matter that I have a lead foot. We are pretty racist around here. Federal police reform. Embarrassing. We cannot possibly win with Republicans who carry the communist narrative for them. And of course, in the end, I mean, remember, he was working with Cory Booker. Full-blown communist Cory Booker. He's working with Cory Booker on federal police reform. And of course, later, you know, a month into it, he comes around. Well, I'm going to have to drop this federal police reform thing. It turns out he wasn't operating in good faith, but it's too late. A month is too late. You already jumped on the bandwagon and helped them set the narrative. When the fire was getting started, you weren't putting it out. You grabbed a can of gasoline and dumped it all over there. So now, once the fire gets out of control and the forest is burning down, don't stand up and say, "This fire's terrible. Get some water in here." You did it. That kind of weak. I don't know whether it's weakness. Honestly, I don't know whether it's weakness, stupidity. I don't know what it is, but that we cannot have. We need Republicans. We need anti-communists, I should say, because there are no Republicans who are strong. Well, very few Republicans are strong enough to fight against the narrative. We need anti-communists who immediately realize the communist is lying. He's using whatever it is, shooting, George Floyd, whatever, to try and hurt you. Look, this is part of the reason why I hate John Cornyn so much and Mitch McConnell so much. After that terrible Uvalde school shooting, immediately the communists started grabbing guns like they always do. Guns, 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 guns. And instead of fighting back against it, well, I've directed John Cornyn to help us to create some gun control legislation. Grabbed a can of gas once again when the fire was burning. Can't stand it. All right, one more segment left. Before we get to that segment, let's talk about the pain you live with every day. Look, it's life. Your back hurts. Your neck hurts. Maybe it's a muscle pain, whatever the case may be. You don't have to live with it, and you don't have to reach for the pill bottle to deal with it. You do not have to live with nagging pain every day. You can't sleep. You're snapping at people. Start Relief Factor. All I'm asking you is this. Try it for 3 weeks. If it doesn't work, don't order anymore. That's all you're going to buy initially is a three-week quick start kit. It's $19.95. Try it for 3 weeks. You will feel better. If you don't ever order it again, but you will. Almost everyone comes back and they start gobbling it up. It's incredible. Drug-free. All natural. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. Or you can go to their website, relieffactor.com. You don't have to live with pain. One more segment. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. If you miss me, you can email me over the weekend. We'll be back on Monday for a Medal of Honor Monday. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. All right. We have to get to emails. I have a decent stack here. I would say maybe 20 or so. I bet you I can get to all these. Yes, I can, Chris. But you know what, Chris? You pull me down. You pull me down because you attack my confidence, Chris. When I feel... What, Chris? What? I do not have ADHD, Chris. I do not. I'm going to be fine this segment. All right, I'm going to be fine. You know why? I'll tell you why I'm going to be fine. I took my chalk this morning. Did you know that? Well, it's not exactly news. Every single morning, I wake up. I generally have eggs. That's about 29 out of 30 days of the month I have eggs. Usually some orange juice, because orange juice is like the most delicious thing ever. And then I wash it down. I wash my male vitality stack down after my breakfast. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days with a natural herbal supplement stack. Natural supplements, gentlemen. T levels off a cliff. We must fight back. Go to choq.com and begin your fight today. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Ladies, there's female vitality stacks for you. Now, without further ado, all these emails, no problem.
And now,
here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Emails
we didn't get to.
Dear Shogun, I'm a young constituent in Iowa. I'm sick of my elected officials on fiscal responsibility and then voting for everything. He's mad at Ernst and Grassley. Yeah, a couple of idiots. He said, I cannot bring myself to vote for him. Am I a bad person for voting for a Democrat this fall? I know they'll vote for the same garbage, but at least they won't lie to my face about wanting to balance the budget like Hinson has. He's specifically mad about Hinson. His name is Joey. I have said many, many times before, I'm not voting Democrat. I understand the sentiment, and I don't judge you if you do it for a purpose, if you have a reason for it. Your vote is the only power you have. It's the only political power you have. And it's awesome that you have that, that I have that. It's awesome we do have a say. So you use your vote however you want. You've never heard me judge you for how you vote, not in primaries, not in generals. As long as you're involved, that's all I care about. Care enough to get involved. Hi, brilliant father of boys. My 20-year-old son thinks he knows everything and that voting is a waste of time. When I talk to him about voting, he continually insists George Washington didn't want there to be any political parties, so on and so forth. How can I convince him to exercise his right to vote in the upcoming elections? Thanks for your support. Her name is Marcia. Listen, if you can't get him to vote in the upcoming election, that's probably not a bad thing, and here's why. Yes, I want everyone involved, but I want the people who care to be involved. It's not that we don't have enough voters. It's that we have way too many voters. We have way too many low-info voters on both sides who don't know squat, who don't actually understand things, and they go in and they vote, and they keep voting for their own ignorance. That's why we keep getting these losers from the reddest states elected into office. People don't follow politics like you do. They don't know about this vote on this and that vote on that. And look, I know he's your boy and you want him involved. Man, at 20, I wasn't involved. Now, I was voting then, I believe. I'm pretty sure I was voting then, but I didn't really care about politics. Men of that age, it's not unusual for them to not care. He may come around and surprise you one day. In fact, he probably will. Jesse. All day coverage wall to wall of Kate Middleton's cancer. While it's not good, but I don't care. Why should I care about a royal? We beat their butts 250 years ago. Why do Americans still drool over royals? Well, look, cancer's different because cancer is one of those things that has touched all of us. I don't know that there's anyone listening to the sound of my voice right now who hasn't had their life touched in some way by cancer. It's just terrible. It's absolutely terrible. So that probably plays a part in it. Another part in it is this. People lie to themselves. One of the lies people say is, I don't want a king or a queen. The truth is, the fallen state of man is men love kings. Men love queens. Men want to be kings, right? What guy hasn't thought about that? I want to be a king, put a crown on my head and a palace and all the other things. What woman hasn't thought about being a princess or a queen? Royalty is something. Now, again, it doesn't fascinate me. You've never heard me talk about the royals. I don't give a crap about any of that. But it's an understandable fascination for other people. Royalty, kings and queens and palaces and things like that. People love that. And remember, that's not unique to today. People always have. It's not unique to Americans. It's not unique to today. People love to see them. One of the things that I find really, really fascinating is celebrity. We'll just make it about celebrity. How many people, they just want to be next to it. They want to touch it. They find it to be so incredibly fascinating. And because I don't, I can just observe it, but you see it all over the place. They want to be around celebrities. It's odd, right? It's odd. Like, why do rock stars get all the chicks? It's weird. It's not like they're good looking. I mean, I guess some of them are, but usually just strung out, ugly looking freaks. And yet, rock stars, musicians of any kind, really, they get all the chicks. Why? Well, you're on stage and people are cheering for you and you're making people feel things and then you just want to be next to it. I've gotten to more than 3 emails, Chris. Shut up, Chris. Anyway, Chris is distracting me. Hey, Jesse, you were talking about a museum. My mom and parents were in a POW camp in Santo Tomas. That was in the Philippines, in case you're wondering. And I have a grandmother's diary and a lot of pictures and newspaper and magazines and some shrapnel that she saved. We need to remember what happened. Man, you need to get a hold of the Pacific War Museum in Fredericksburg, Texas. Maybe the greatest museum I've ever stepped in my life. Get a hold of them. If you can't get a hold of them, get a hold of me, okay? All right, you enjoy your weekend. Put your phone down. That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.